Lesson 23, The Death of Saul. Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against Yahweh, even against the word of Yahweh, which he kept not. Reading, 1 Samuel chapter 26 to 31, 2 Samuel chapter 1. Objective. This lesson shows us how Saul refused to obey the word of God. This brought shame upon himself and the nation of Israel. The story of Saul shows us a man forsaken by God because of his continued rebellion. We need to learn to trust and obey God. If we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. James chapter 4, verse 8. The men of Ziph, treacherous again. 1 Samuel chapter 26. The men of Ziph betrayed David again by going to Saul with the details of David's present hiding place. Saul set out with his 3,000 chosen men. But again, his plans came to nothing. The army of Saul had pitched camp for the night in the hill of Hakilah, and David had a similar incident at the cave of En-Gedi. David makes his way through the sleeping army right to the place where Saul lay. Note the following parallels with the incident at the cave at En-Gedi. We see David's nephew Abishai wanting to kill Saul because of the chance God had provided in verse 8. David refusing to kill Saul because he is Yahweh's anointed, verse 9. David taking Saul's spear and water bottle as evidence that he could have killed Saul but did not, verse 11. David calling out and reasoning with Saul, verse 17 to 20 and 22 to 24. Saul admitting he had done wrong, verse 21. And Saul and David go their separate ways in verse 25. In despair, David felt forced to leave the inheritance of Yahweh and come to a decision. David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. The struggle to avoid Saul had brought David to the point where he hardly felt that it was possible that he could ever become king, and he took refuge amongst the Philistines. David in the land of the Philistines. 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1. To chapter 28, verse 2. David's desperation caused him to act irrationally. He had once before retreated to the city of Gath in a mistake which could have cost him his life. This time, however, David was accepted by the king of Gath, who considered David's exile from his own people and believed David would be servant to him. So David went to live with Achish, king of Gath, and Saul stopped chasing him. He asked Achish for a place to live and was given a city called Ziklag. From here, David continued to fight battles for Israel against the Canaanites that still remained in the land. He organized a series of raids into the land south of Judah, even onto the land of Egypt. When Achish asked where they had been, David replied, against the south of Judah. Achish believed that David had actually attacked the people of Israel and said to himself, he has made himself hated by his people Israel, and so will be my servant forever. Achish trusted David to the point where he would have taken him into battle against Israel. Achish also made David his personal bodyguard. Therefore will I make thee keeper of my head forever. Imagine how David felt when he heard those words. The man who had fought Goliath and cut off his head was now guarding the head of a Philistine king. Saul and the Witch of Endor, 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 3 to 25. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid and his heart greatly trembled. He asked God for advice, but got none. His prayer was motivated by fear for himself and not trusting God. Saul was desperate. Samuel was dead, and he had no prophets to help him. Saul had commanded to put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Now in sheer desperation, he asked his men to find him one. These were people who pretended to communicate with the dead. Saul was willing to believe and to try anything. He found one, the Witch of Endor. Saul disguised himself and came to her in the darkness of night. Not only was Saul a hypocrite, but God had commanded Israel not to use the services of these people in Leviticus 19, verse 31. For all that do these things are an abomination unto Yahweh. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 10 to 12. The witch was reluctant at first and suspected a trap that would lead to her death. Saul then swore an oath to her in the name of God that no harm would come to her. If only Saul had enough faith to believe that God was alive, there would have been no need for him to have sought the services of a witch. The witch agreed to help by asking, "Who shall I bring up?" And Saul said, "Bring me up Samuel." In a great show of surprise, the woman revealed that she knew it was Saul before her. He assured her that she had nothing to fear and asked her what she could see. She described Samuel. God then uses this pitiful scene to reveal the future events to Saul through the voice of Samuel. Saul knelt down with his face to the ground and said, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me." Saul's worst fear now came true as a voice told him in precise detail what would happen. Saul heard that. God had departed from him and become his enemy. God had taken away his kingdom and given it to David. This was happening because of his disobedience concerning Amalek. He and his sons would die in battle tomorrow, and the army of Israel would fall into the hand of the Philistines. Saul collapsed onto the ground as the hopelessness of his situation became real. Saul's death, 1 Samuel chapter 31. The events of the next day at Mount Gilboa happened just as Saul had been told. The Philistines were too strong for the Israelites, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines. Saul's son, Jonathan, and his two brothers were killed, and the Philistines followed hard. They chased Saul, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Saul, not willing to be slain by the Philistines, asked his armor-bearer to kill him. But his armor-bearer would not. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it, and there he died. The remainder of Saul's army and the people of the nearby cities fled. When the Philistines found the body of Saul, they cut off his head and fastened his body and the bodies of his sons to the wall of Bethshan. Sadly, the Philistines saw the death of Saul as a victory for their gods. When the people of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night to recover the bodies. Saul had saved these people from the Ammonites years earlier, but they had not forgotten. They cremated the bodies of Saul and his sons, and took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. Principle for living: rejecting God only brings despair. In 1 Chronicles 10, verse 13, we are told that Saul died for his transgression which he committed against Yahweh, against the word of Yahweh, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit, and inquired not of Yahweh. This summarizes the case against Saul. He rejected God. Therefore, he, Yahweh, slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. Saul did not listen to God. He did not seek God's will through prayer. He did not act as God had told him through his word and through the prophet Samuel. Saul was a good king to begin with, but he changed as his lack of faith became evident in the mistakes he made. He blamed God and gradually turned from his ways. The experiences of life and the truth must develop our characters to make sure we are walking with God. If we do not learn from our mistakes and make these small changes, they develop into major problems. The life of Saul is a classic example of this gradual downhill slide. Saul's slow rejection of God's ways brought him total despair and the loss of his life. This final tragedy need not have happened, if only Saul had turned to God and leaned upon his mercy. In all his extremities, David learned that God is a very present help in trouble. Even in our greatest trials, God will help. David returns to Ziklag, 1 Samuel chapter 30. The princes of the Philistines had not wanted David in their army to do battle against Israel. David and his men return from their short time in the Philistine army and arrive at Ziklag to find it empty and burned. The Amalekites had attacked the city, taking everyone and everything away with them. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. This was a test of his faith. David encouraged himself in Yahweh his God. David inquired at Yahweh, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" Yahweh answered immediately, telling David to leave straightaway, and all would be recovered. They found the Amalekites rejoicing at the great spoil they had taken. David smote them and recovered all their goods, including David's own two wives, and returned to Ziklag. David hears of Saul's death. 2 Samuel chapter 1. On the third day after returning from chasing the Amalekites, a man wandered into the camp at Ziklag. He had all the signs of great distress and mourning. He had torn clothes and earth on his head. He was an Amalekite and came to David from the camp of Israel with news of the battle. The man told David that Saul and Jonathan were dead. David immediately asked how the man was so sure. He claimed to have killed Saul at his own request and gave David the king's crown and bracelet as proof. David and his men were very distressed. They mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of Yahweh and for the house of Israel. David was angry at the report that this man had killed Yahweh's anointed. He was unaware at this time that the report was false and ordered the smiting of this Amalekite. David recalls this incident later, saying that the Amalekite thought his story would have been rewarded by David, but his lies had cost him his life. The true and sincere character of David is seen in his very moving lamentation for Saul and Jonathan. Two mighty warriors had fallen, and David felt this disaster very personally. Saul and Jonathan had been lovely and pleasant in their lives. He described them as swifter than eagles and stronger than lions. The final words that David said of his beloved friend Jonathan, "I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women." Basic Bible teaching, judgment. The story of Saul's life teaches us a valuable lesson. Our mortal existence now is our only opportunity to present our lives as living sacrifices before God. Our Father is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, but only those who have tried to please him will be graciously given a place in his kingdom. The time of judgment will come when each responsible person will have to stand and give account of the things they had done. Two classes will be revealed. Those who have continued in patient well-doing will be rewarded with eternal life, but those who have not obeyed the truth will feel the wrath of God to suffer tribulation and anguish. Summary. David again spares Saul's life in the hills of Hakila. David seeks refuge at the Philistine city of Gath. At a visit to the witch of Endor, Saul learns of his imminent death in the battle and the defeat of Israel. David grieves at the death of Saul and his beloved friend Jonathan.